it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. I don't want robots involved in baseball. All right? It's not the Jetsons. I don't. I don't want robots calling balls and strikes. It disturbs me. It's one of the many things that disturb me. Oh, and speaking of things that disturb me, that Kimmel character is back this evening. And just like I have for the last, 15 years, I won't be watching. It makes no difference to me what he says. I think his conduct, his behavior, his lie about those of us who are conservative is just reprehensible. That's all. It's absolutely, positively reprehensible lying the way he did. So, yeah, what are you going to do? Locally, Nexstar, which owns Channel 8, says we're going in with a whole bunch of other Nexstar stations. We're not going to be airing the program. Sinclair, which is the largest ABC affiliate group around the country, says they are not going to be airing it either. And to me, it makes no difference. Because if you're looking for something funny with a dose of intelligence, check out Gutfeld on Fox. It's always good stuff. And throughout the rest of the day, and I mean every single solitary part of the day on Fox, whether it's the television, the radio, both at the same time, early in the morning, late at night, of course, it's our friend Brian Kilmeade, who's actually going to be here in Richmond on Saturday, but he's here this afternoon. Mr. Kilmeade, good afternoon, sir.
What's happening, Jeff? How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited that you're coming to town, but you gotta weigh in. I know you were a soccer guy. The idea of robots calling balls and strikes or whatever the penalties are in soccer. I mean, I don't know what you guys do. What is it?
Well, I mean, there's line judges. I mean, now they could see, if it crosses the line like tennis. So that definitely improves it. You don't have to depend on just a referee standing in midfield be able to pick that off or a line judge or a linesman. But okay. I like the idea of this. You know what? I know people want the folklore of baseball, and that's the way it is. One umpire has a big strike zone. The one has a small strike zone. One guy's having a bad day. It's a good day. That was a strike in the first inning. It's not a strike in the third inning. I would love to see some type of official strike, ball, and strike. I mean, it's crazy that we have one guy deciding what's a ball and strike. If you look at games, we don't go, he looks like he got 10 yards. Give him a first down. we measure, we go out and we go, that's a strike or a ball. Yep. I don't love the idea. I like technology to enhance. Yeah. I don't like it taking over where a catcher catches the ball and then you'll just look at the scoreboard to see if it was a ball or strike. I don't think we should get to that. Okay. But I would like to see, I would love to see some improvement in the balls and strikes, wouldn't you?
I would. It's just, man, I got to tell you, it just scares me to no end. I'm already living in fear of my robot overlords, moving in and taking over everything in the first place. And it just seems to me, I mean, baseball has always been sort of it's a friendly, benevolent game. So calls get missed. Football, it's like you're suiting up for, for some sort of really serious geopolitical issue. So you got to measure down to the inches.
A couple of things. Yeah. How many times does this happen? You really pulling? What's your favorite team?
Baseball?
Nationals?
Boston Red Sox. I'm married into a Red Sox family, my friend. I like sleeping in the big bedroom.
So here's an example. Red Sox are up, base loaded, 3-2 count. You watch this pitch come. Your Red Sox guy takes the pitch. He thinks it's ball four. Umpire says it's strike three. You look at it again, man, that looks like a ball. And then, you know, and for sure, that doesn't matter. The celebration started, Yankees win. And then you look at it and you say to yourself, wouldn't it be better if you really knew if that was this ball or strike, rather than an umpire wasn't concentrating, might have some conscious bias towards the Yankees. I don't mind a human element going out of officiating. It really doesn't bother me.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, listen, I believe that everybody should have a human bias against the Yankees. But, you know, again, I might be biased, right, Mr. Kilby.
Hey, they could be playing in the first round.
That's exactly right.
Which is a toss-up, so it's pretty crazy.
It is crazy.
But,
stuff.
You know, we're talking about a different generation. Sadly, there's a whole group of Gen Zers growing up who have not been turned on to baseball.
Well,
so I worry about the game.
Yeah. Well, you're spot on that. What, even just outdoor activity, have you not, maybe not your daughters, maybe not my kids, but there's a whole bunch of their friends. They've never played outside. The closest they've come is playing some sort of baseball video game.
I have a theory on that. Should I share it?
Yeah.
Because youth sports is built for the elite athlete, and I'm tired of it. Yeah. I mean, so let you go out. Well, that kid can play. We'll put him on the travel team, and then we're going to get him some coaching. And then, you know, if your parents have a little bit of money, they get some instruction on the side, and they get it better. But what about the good player? Hey, you know, I love going to baseball on Saturday. I love catch with my dad. But, you know, I don't want to dedicate my life to it. I still want to join the scouts. I want to do things. There's no room for them.
Yeah,
yeah, there's nothing really for you. Intramural, you know, town league.
Yeah,
there's less and less of that.
Yeah.
I mean, baseball in my town is the only one that does with volunteer coaches and makes every travel team player play in the town league.
Oh.
Football, everything else is travel, travel, travel. So if you're good, or dare to say you grow late, or get coordination later in life,
then
you're kind of screwed. So you're going, you know what? No one's paying attention to me. My parents are indifferent. You know, I'm good. I'm not great. I'm not terrible. I'll just do something else, or I'll do nothing. And that's why I think there's got to be emphasis on not participation trophies, but getting kids out. Yeah, get those elite kids, put them with other kids, but they mean just as much as the good kids.
Yeah.
So therefore, more will be playing, even if they're not walking away with four-year scholarships.
Right. Well, that's a great point. No, I think you're spot on that, Brian. I like that, and I you know, my boy's a little bit older, so maybe it has changed a certain amount. But yeah, I see what you're saying, where they do have some of the travel teams, and it's thousands and thousands of dollars, and it's from early in the morning to late at night. You're right, but it would be nice if there were another generation, maybe like ours, that just said, yeah, you know, I played baseball, I played catch with my dad in the yard, and I was in Little League for a couple of years and had a good time,
yeah,
and now I play baseball with my sons, and, you know, we have a good time.
Right, but what's wrong with having a good time?
Yeah.
What's wrong with go playing, trying hard?
Yep.
And you know what? I don't want to make it. I don't want to, like, for example, with that, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
I go to the Jefferson Cup every year for about 15 years. I'm going to Richmond, Virginia. I know your airport almost as well as you, Jeff.
Yes.
Because we fly in there and we play the best soccer teams around. I have to tell you, I could really do that in New York and stay in my car. So, but they want to get us in the hotel rooms. They want to get us on those flights. They want to pay the fees for the tournament. I got to drive through. Your traffic is as bad as my traffic. And I got to go back and forth and find these fields. And you know what? And then sometimes, you know, parents are into it and they can afford it, and other parents can't, and they're out.
Yeah.
I was talking to Tim Howard, the goalie in the national team who played in England.
Okay.
And he said flat out, my mom was a single parent. We struggled to stay in a house. At one point, we were homeless. If I had to pay more than the registration fee, I never would have played the sport.
Wow.
So we're locking out the working class kids and the impoverished kids who are left with single parents who are desperate need a mentorship. And we're just catering towards, man, that guy could be, or that girl could be, a World Cup star. And I'm tired of it.
Well, look, you and I have bonded over many things throughout the years. We're both blue collar kids that grew up scrapping and working hard, and you know, we have what we have, and trying to make life as nice as possible for our families, and enjoying some puppies, and you know, kicking back with a beverage at some point. To me, it was like a really easy script to follow. A lot of hard work, but you know, wasn't that complicated, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting now. I mean, we make it more complicated, seeing the shooter with Charlie Kirk, and seeing about all the other kids in their basement, no friends, decides he wants to be trans. It's like everything that we've been discussing all wrapped up in one. You know, everything that we've been fearing wrapped up in one. It's not a gang kid who fell in with the wrong crowd and decides to do X, Y, or Z. It's a guy that got somehow militarized, yep. Radicalized in his basement and disgraced his family and destroyed another and had much of this country in mourning all day Sunday and still trying to figure it out today. And that's what's happening. This isn't a historically bad kid. This is a kid that maybe would have just been not that popular. Now he ends up dangerous.
Yeah. And the horror that's inflicted, obviously, on Charlie's family and the rest of us. Did you ever look, we've been around this a long time, and we've seen people throughout the years make threats. I get them all the time. I'm sure you exponentially get more in the rest of it. But did you ever think that you would see people come together the way they did for hours and hours, millions of people
Never.
Around the world on Sunday?
It was one of the most perfect events I've ever seen it. And I think I watched every minute of it.
Yeah.
Maybe I missed a Tulsi Gabbard. That was it.
Okay.
And not intentionally. So okay. I just thought it was perfect pitch. I really like the fact that we're like conservatives have figured it out and Republicans are the best. That would have marginalized and trivialized this thing compared to what it was.
Yeah.
To me, it was, man, what a waste that we lost this guy at 31. What was he trying to do to make the country better? And then I see the American story, politics aside. Sleeping on couches, no money, no connections, grinding it out, finding a way, believing in your vision,
yes.
finding other people who believed in it too, and with such a mission. And he said, I think one of his comments from one of his friends was, "Yeah, I took some time off to have some fun. I don't want to try that again. I hated it because he just wanted to work, you know, and because it wasn't work, it was a mission."
Yeah.
And I just think that there's an entrepreneur in there. There's a guy with a mission, and there was when we heard the Hillsdale College president come out and say that I told him you got to get educated. You need to know the classics. You need to know the history. And he did, and he took 33 courses. And I go, wow, he got everything. I need to get better. I will.
That I am with you on that. When Larry Arnn said that and said, yeah, we can tell you 32, 33 courses he took at Hillsdale. They're all free. By the way, everybody ought to be taking those courses from Hillsdale because they are free. You just go there and you can learn things and this grounding in information. And Charlie obviously loved the idea that he was reaching out to people who were telling him how much they disagreed. And he said, cool. Let's talk. I mean, that to me, that's America. That's beautiful right there.
Yeah. And, you know, he was on our show a lot, especially the Sunday show, because I just want to lead guests with a deep thinker. And I remember I called him up and I think you and I disagree on this, Jeff, and it's great. It's no problem. But I actually, when it comes to immigration, I'm not the guy that wants to throw everybody out. I want to seal the border. They did it. I never thought they could quickly. And they did. And, you know, get the criminals out. Absolutely. Overstayed the visa. I got a huge problem with that. But for those people that have been here over 15 years, that can get a sponsor that would not destroy the 70% of farmers are dealing with are dealing with illegal immigrants and meat packers. I go, if you can get a sponsor, they never become citizens. And I had this idea and I go, they never become citizens, but they don't leave. You know, and they have people vouch for them, and they got to give them wages, and they got to give them insurance, but they're not going to be citizens. Therefore, the Democrats don't get their voters, but farmers and meatpackers who are living under the rules, but, you know, didn't do the E-Verify or whatever, there'll be a pathway forward. Because we solve the problem, let's just fix what we have left. And he was dead set against that. And I said, Charlie, I know I'm biting you on, but please feel free to disagree with me. And he laughed. He goes, I would expect nothing. He goes, I know you want me to do nothing less, of course, but I called him ahead of time because I didn't want him to feel awkward coming on my show and telling me I'm wrong. I go, I want you to tell me I'm wrong. If that's how you feel, he goes, yeah, you're wrong. So, and then he went off, and then he told me, and a smile on his face, he said, Brian, it's either yes or no. Are you here legally or not? What about the people online? And I got it, you know, so we'll see what Trump's going to do. But this is an example.
Yeah, no, it's a great example, and you pull it right back to the underlying big cause there. That was with the smile on his face and chatting and the rest of it. Well, as much as I love chatting with you, Brian, I understand you are once again visiting Central Virginia. You're coming to Richmond. There's not a yep. soccer ball on in sight. So what gives?
Well, I got this show. I have these 7 history books and 2 sports books, and for the longest time, I waited. You know, people would call up and say, Brian, can you speak to this group and can you speak to this bank and we can yep. be a keynote speaker? And most of this stuff gets knocked down because it conflicts with news. So I said, what if I put together my own show where I have an opportunity to talk about history and take a pushback on the war in history and okay. do the motivational thing, kind of like we were talking about with sports. I did Games yeah. Do Count, and it's how you play the game. And then I just decided, after 3 years, we said, why don't I just bring some of those moments to life in a fun, comedic way, which where you come in. So I'm going to have you and Rich on, and maybe I can create get Bennett out there. And we're going to take moments with George Washington, Secret Six, Thomas Jefferson, the Tripoli Pirates, Teddy and Booker T, the President, Freedom Fighter, Sam Houston, the Alamo Avengers, and bring one moment to life. We still stick to the story, but we have fun with it. And it ends up being, I'm pretty proud of what this become. And I just, after doing your great events, Politics and Pints, I just said, I would love to come here. And then we finally worked it out. So I'm coming Saturday night at 7. We already got almost 100 VIPs. Usually we get like 50, and it's a small setting. I've never seen VIPs like this. So, you know, if you could join for that, B2, that's our time to turn up your phones and just talk off the record and preview the show and yeah. find out what our listeners think. And then we're just going to go out and do the show. And it's my pushback in the war in history, get happy about America, year 250.
Nice. Nice. Well, you know, we've been talking about it on the air. We've got it up on social media, and I think it's going to be very, very exciting. I don't know if you've had the chance. Dominion Energy Center, beautiful, beautiful venue. It really, really is, and it is just going to be perfect for what you are presenting.
Great. And, Jeff, I hope you can come because we have ideas for you. I think
Uh-oh.
You're going to love it.
Uh-oh. And you know what? You don't want to give me even a single solitary clue now so that it might factor
well,
into the decision.
I just ran through the titles.
Yeah.
There's going to be characters recognizable through which you are going to, I'm going to bring some history to life, whether it's Jefferson, whether it's Washington, whether it's Nathan Hale, you know, whether it's Sam Houston. Okay. We're going to bring one moment to life, and I'm eyeing you for George Washington.
Ah.
Put it this way, if people want to see online, it's what I gave Will Kane in our last show, because we're going to be streaming on Fox Nation around the world, really.
Oh, my gosh. All right, well, I will not take a look. Yeah, I'm going to ask Heidi where I put my wooden teeth, assuming that's a true story, and we'll see.
If you're a good actor, you're not eligible. We want pedestrians with all heart and a lot of who bleed red, white, and blue.
Okay. Well, I think I might have you covered on a couple of those areas. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I know everybody that's listening today is going to be headed over to DominionEnergyCenter.com. That's the best way to get the tickets, DominionEnergyCenter.com, just to be sure that nobody misses out. I'll make sure we've got it up again on all of our social media platforms. It's the Carpenter Theater, the Dominion Energy Center. Brian, as always, my friend, a pleasure, and looking forward to seeing you real soon.
Congratulations on your success, Jeff, and I hope to see you in a couple of days.
Sounds great. Thank you, sir. That is Brian Kilmeade. He's the host, not surprisingly, of the Brian Kilmeade Show on this very radio station. Of course, Fox, always on Fox. There's not a single moment that Brian is not actually somewhere on Fox at some point. And this Saturday, he'll be at the Carpenter Theater, Dominion Energy Center. And I don't know, have to see if I'm able to make it out. Why George Washington? Huh. What do you think, Germ? Can I pull off George Washington? Is there a wig? And I'll look into it. I cannot confirm or deny, but I will look into it. I promise you that. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
.435, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday afternoon. All sorts of great stuff that you and I have been dealing with all day. I mean, we're having some good fun, right? I'm still taking a look at our James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. People weighing in on exactly what they think Mr. Kimmel will do this evening. And I also asked if anybody would be watching. I haven't found a single person who's weighed in and said, oh, I'll be watching. As I shared with you, I'll be doing exactly what I've done for the 15 years he's been on the air, ignoring him as much as possible. I just think he's terrible. And I can't imagine that anything he does tonight is going to change that. I will also say this before we chat with Craig Peterson. I think what this does is it simply lays the groundwork moving forward for Disney to say, we're not going to be renewing the deal. That's all. And Kimmel may go and find another platform. I don't know. Are you still even going to bother with a late night show? I mean, look at the numbers that people aren't watching them. And if you were going to do it, maybe a guy like Shane Gillis would be the way to go. Funny guy, I would say an equal opportunity offender, if you will. All right, Craig Peterson, who, as you know, is our go-to guy on all things interwebular, all sorts of security issues and tech issues. And I look at his newsletter each and every week, and I am, what's the word I'm looking for, Craig? Terrified. Yeah, terrified would be the word, because every week, my friend, you've got another reason why we need to go back to slate and chisels or something like that.
Chalk. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot to keep up on, and that's what I try and do. You know, it can be scary, but I try and help people know what to do. Mm-hmm. And my featured article this week that I wrote, called this time it's called Attackers Steal Microsoft 365 Logins.
Yeah.
This happened to a client of mine about a week and a half ago.
Okay.
And now the FBI's come out talking about what it's all about. And this is a caution for everybody, whether you're a business or not. Here's what happens, Jeff. Say the bad guys here, obviously they want access to your money. They want to hose whatever they can out of your account. So what they'll do is say, how can I get access to your Microsoft account? Because unfortunately, most businesses use Microsoft. They use Office 365, et cetera. So Microsoft, if you're ever logged into your email on Microsoft, you know that it has a screen that comes up and asks for your email and your username and maybe a multi-factor authentication code, right? Depending.
That's right.
They're enforcing that a lot more nowadays. So what's happening is these hosers are sending you a just kind of out of the blue. You click on something and up it comes that looks like a Microsoft login page. And you say, well, I didn't do anything with Microsoft, so you close it. Mm-hmm. And it comes up again and again and again and again. So that people who already are frustrated by having to give one of these two-factor authentication six-digit codes, those people are now throwing their hands up saying, okay, here it is.
Yeah.
and then they're into the account. And that's what happened to this company. And they used the account to send out a few thousand emails before we caught them and shut it all down. Wow. But now you have to go through the whole process of sending emails out to all of those people who receive the emails, right, who are in your senders, in your contacts, and say, mea culpa. What does that do to your reputation? And it's very, very frustrating, and it's happening a lot right now. So there's the latest way they're getting into our accounts and ultimately our bank accounts, because guess what? When you log into your bank, they want to send you an email or a text, and they'll know what bank you have by looking through your email, because there's probably an email in there from the bank, and they may be able to get right into your account. So this exhaustion technique that they use, you can't fall for this. Unless you specifically are trying to log into Microsoft, just close those pop-ups that come up that look like Microsoft.
That's it. Just close them, ignore them. Doesn't matter how many times they come up. Just forget about it. That's it.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's kind of scary, but, you know, we'll see what happens there. Now, here's another good one. Google has started silently tracking your iPhone, where you're going, what you're doing. Yeah, Forbes has a great article on this one. You know, remember when we thought this clearing our cookies would make us kind of invisible online? Yeah. Well, Google's pulled a real fast one here on iPhone users. They've already been doing this on Android forever. Oh. But they've quietly brought back something called the digital fingerprinting. And what digital fingerprinting does is Apple's trying to keep your information private. So they assign a number to you. They make it so that it's hard for the sites you go to be able to identify you. Right. So what Google came up with is this great idea. Well, I can ask your iPhone, I can ask your Mac, I can ask your Windows computer, what programs do you have installed? Now, ostensibly, that's so that, you know, the website can then give you information pertinent to what you have installed or, you know, use something installed. Right? It makes sense. Right. But what Google's doing now is they're looking at it and saying, okay, well, he has this, that, and the other thing. He has this type of iPhone, this much memory. They're able to identify you almost uniquely out of everyone in the country just based on those statistics.
Oh, my God.
And Google said they would stop doing it. They did. And now they're doing it again. So I've got the link in here as to what you can do to turn off Google's ability to look down on everything that you're doing and identify you uniquely.
May I ask a question, Mr. Peterson?
Go for it.
Why are the Google people such flippin' liars?
They are. You remember it used to say on their website, don't be evil? That was their slogan. They removed that years ago.
Yeah, well, the new t-shirts say, just be evil. That's what happened with them, right?
Yeah, it really has. It's a crying shame. Ugh. But they are, you know, they wanted to be the resource for all knowledge on Earth. Yeah. And you can see how well that could be helpful, right? You ask Google a question, you get an answer.
Right.
But they decided that they can make billions of dollars by selling our information to not just marketers, but they're selling it to governments. They're selling it to anybody that will pay. So being able to track you as an individual is a huge profit item for Google, and that seems to be all they care about.
What's the benefit, as I asked Craig Peterson, let me remind everybody, CraigPeterson.com, CraigPeterson.com is the website to get signed up for the weekly newsletter. If I am the Chinese Communist Party and I'm looking at Google or some other company that aggregates information and they are willing to sell me all this information, it's still, is it identifiable? Does the Chinese government now say, oh, Peterson. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. We're, you see, look, he bought three pairs of shoes last week. Let's do this. Or is it just some person somewhere who meets your general characteristics, you know, 6 feet tall, painfully handsome, that sort of stuff?
Yeah. If you have enough data, you can figure out who someone is. And that's what they're doing here. You know, they talk about anonymized data that's used in various types of studies, et cetera.
Right.
There's been all kinds of studies on that anonymized data, all kinds of studies showing, guess what? We can de-anonymize that data.
Oh, my gosh.
So the answer to your question is yes, they can identify you individually. And in fact, that's what a lot of hackers are doing now, too. Now, some of them buy data from these data brokers, aggregators, but a lot of them do it themselves based on data that's available on, if you will, the black market on the dark web, put it all together. So they can now send you one of these things that looks like it's a login for Microsoft or a login for your bank because they know what bank you're using.
All right, I'm going back to the first thing I said this afternoon. I am going to go back to a chunk of slate and a chisel, and then that's it. I don't have to worry about any of this stupid technology robot overlord stuff, right? I should be able to live in the world like that.
Yeah, you'd think, and it would be nice. Yeah. Those days are behind us. The federal government, isn't doing anything about it. Businesses look at it as a profit center, so there's no way they're going to do anything about it. And we're willingly carrying around these tracking devices known as smartphones and giving it all the information they could ever want.
Jeez, man. And if nothing else, at least now you know, hoity-toity Apple folks know what it's like for the rest of us who are droidians, right? I mean, if they're doing it to you, they're doing it to everybody. That's the philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are ways to shut it down.
Okay.
And, you know, so that's what that article is this week in the newsletter. Apple has easier and better ways to shut it down more completely than Android does.
Of course you do. Yes. But I can still shut it down, right? And is it easy enough for me? Or, I mean, you know my limitations in the world of this stuff.
Well, both Android and Apple allow you to have an ID. An identifier, and you can change that identifier from site to site. Okay. And there are some things you can do for privacy on Android. There's a few apps that might be worth doing, but be very, very cautious because in the Android world, particularly if you're sideloading, you might just be doing the Chinese government or hackers a favor. You know, if it's free, you are the product.
Well, on that happy note, Craig, I'm going to see what me as a product would fetch on the open market. I don't know. Maybe I could buy that Apple phone I've always wanted. And
there you go.
Remind everybody where they go for this newsletter and all these tips, please.
All right. Lots of tips. Cracking the code this week. CraigPeterson.com. You can sign up right there on the homepage, CraigPeterson.com.
You are the best. I thank you for being here, my friend. That is Craig Peterson. And don't get totally scared off. I get it. I mean, the reality is that it is easy pickings if you're you. No, you are. Yeah, you and I are both easy pickings. And that's the thing that Craig is always on top of. And Craig is always saying, hey, look, here's a little help. Here's what you can do over here. And tremendous resource when you get that newsletter. It's free. Some people get scared of, well, Jeff, if that's free. No, Craig has got a major internet operation. That's how he pays his bills. Believe me, he's doing just fine. And he is one of those guys who said,
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I do want to give back. I do want to help people. I'm going to come across every week with a couple of tips, a little insight. And I have just loved this newsletter for the years that I've been subscribed to it. CraigPeterson.com. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:54, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. Oh, Jimmy Kimmel is back tonight. And in other news, who gives a crap? I'm looking at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, and 804 says, "Hey, Jeff, this I know is last week's soggy salad, but any word if the petition promoted by Rally VA to remove Dorothy Dot Heffron from the Chesterfield County School Board has gained any traction?" I do not have any updates on that. I don't have any updates. Folks in that Clover Hill district needed to get 2,500 plus signatures, and I would assume they're still circulating. I'll tell you what, though, we'll reach out. Germ, why don't we reach out to Ruse over there at Rally VA, and let's see if we get an update. 804 says it straightforward. Jeff, Jimmy Kimmel is a pimple on the arse of entertainment. Can't really argue with that. Maggie says, Jeff, people want to know why rents are going up in the city of Richmond. Because the owners of the houses have to pay higher taxes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor Donnie Dr. Avuli. Can't argue with that. Tomorrow morning, my buddy Rich Herrera will be here hosting Richmond's Morning News. I will be with him at 7:35. But if I were you, I would start listening right at 6 a.m. when the show starts. 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.